Okay, so far what we've done is we've discussed how to estimate various random variables, various system parameters, and then looked at how we can measure the goodness of our estimates, and that measure of goodness came in the form of a confidence interval, which gave us a percentage of time that the actual system parameter was within a certain interval around our estimated parameter. So we then applied this concept to the first of our system parameter estimations, the mean value. We're now going to look at estimating other system parameters, and in particular a few having to do with distributions, so the probability that a random variable lies in some interval, percentiles, and finally we'll say a few words about variance of a distribution. Basically, we're going to apply the same technique as before, so we will take multiple samples in order to, we'll produce multiple runs in order to generate an estimate which has a normal distribution, and then from there we can build our confidence interval. Okay, so what's the probability that a random variable lies in interval, and how do we measure this? So an example, we could ask, what's the probability of a customer waiting more than 5 minutes for service? So that's the waiting time lies in the interval greater than five. So it's easy enough to measure. We take a run and we observe the total number of customers served, and we can count the number who had to wait more than 5 minutes, and the ratio of those two numbers gives us our sample estimate. And you can recall that's actually how we originally started to define probability, was as a ratio of the total number over the ones exhibiting certain properties. So if we observe n runs, then we can take the sample average to be our system estimate and compute a confidence interval from that. Okay, so this gives us a means of building up a distribution for our variables. So you can do something like, you can think of it like a histogram, so you'd be estimating the probability of falling into any bin. Okay, and so again, just to put some mathematics around it, we could let I be the designated interval, and we want to estimate P, the probability that X is in I, where X is some endogenous random variable. We produce M simulations, and for each replication I, we collect N observations of X. And we let VI be the number of times X was observed to be in the interval we're interested in on replication I. Then probability PI is just VI over N. Okay. And that gives us our estimate of P. Okay, obviously that's going to differ for each different, or can vary from run to run. So we then take the sample average, so our estimate p-bar is 1 over m summation pi, and again, if we take m large enough, p-bar is normally distributed. We can also define our unbiased estimate of variance. Okay, and so given that, we just define our confidence intervals in the same way. They would center around our estimate P bar, and they'd be a function of S. Multiplied by whatever, multiplier is defined by our confidence level, and then divided by square root of n, since the variance square root of m in this case, since the variance is a function of m. We can do a similar thing for percentiles. That is, we make m runs. We determine our percentile value for each run. And then we do a sample average. So what's the maximum? An example of this, as we said before, is what's the maximum waiting time experienced by 95% of our arrivals? So you have to observe a certain number of arrivals, then look for the 95th percent or 95th percentile value, and you'll get a different value for each run. Okay, so, we can, again, put some notation to this. We have a variable x, and which we will observe n times per run. We'll take m independent runs. And from that, we calculate the percentile value for each run. Okay, so you then have these yi values. We then order our observations. And we change them now to be y. And so y is the ordered sequence of the values of x. And then once we order them, we can find out the percentile value. And then average these as we did before. Okay, we have our sample values. We can use those we can average them for our estimate and take the variance as well, and or take the unbiased estimate of the variance, and we can use that to calculate the confidence interval. So you have to be slightly careful about calculating percentile distributions just to make sure that you have taken essentially enough samples to be actually capturing the appropriate percentile. So if you have an extreme distribution, you will need a very long run. So if you're trying to get the 99.999th percentile, then you need lots and lots of samples to actually get a sufficient number to calculate the appropriate percentile. Now you can either store the values and process them beforehand, or potentially you can construct some sort of histogram in order to sort of estimate the values of it. And so if you bin it into histograms, then you will, in the end, you'll know which bin your percentile value lay within, and you can use that to determine your estimate. And obviously the size of the intervals will impact on the accuracy of this method, since your percentile estimate will be within a range, but you won't get an exact value. Okay, so our final estimate is variance. And this one's slightly more complicated than the previous estimates. And we'll see why now. So, again, we'll have our M runs, and we'll to obtain N samples of a random variable. And so for each of the M runs, we can calculate our sample mean and also a sample variance. Okay, so for run I, our sample mean is 1 over n summation x I to summation over j xij. And so that gives us a mean for each run, and we can then estimate, take the sample average of those means to get a mean estimate. Okay, that's what we did before. Now, if we try to estimate the variance, we would want to again take the variance for each run. And so that's 1 over n summation over j xij minus mu bar I squared. And if we, so we can expand out our terms. And we will see that we end up with terms that are a function of mu I bar, and more significantly, mu bar bar, our estimate of the mean. Okay, so our So we have that, so that gives us a value for S I, so a variance estimate for each of the runs, and we can take the sample average of that estimate. But what we see is that that sample average is each term in that sample average is dependent on mu bar bar, and therefore each term is correlated. So you don't have independent distributions. There is some correlation between one distribution and the next. So again, you have to come up with some method to deal with this correlation. And there's a number of methods possible. And so one of the simplest is the jackknife method, and it's what's called a resampling method. And you define your sample estimates by leaving out each replication in turn. And if you do this, you get the following estimate for your variance. And you can use this estimate then to construct a confidence interval. Okay, it's also suggested that if you use a very long run, that that helps as well. Okay, so again, it's slightly more complicated, but you just have to again try and remove the correlation between estimates. So that gives us techniques for estimating a number of important quantities for our system. The main one that we'll be, again, focusing on is the mean value. Okay. All of these depend on obtaining M independent samples, and we can essentially think of this as M independent runs. The exception to this, again, is the variance where your values don't end up independent, and you have to do a bit of extra work to deal with the dependence between the values. The final portion of our talk is just looking at what we can do to obtain these independent observations. And you know, as we say, so far we've just thought about this as running our simulation m times. So the reason we thought about taking independent runs is because you know that they should be uncorrelated, especially when they reach steady state. But if you take values sort of close to each other within a given from a single run, then, as we argued, the values would be likely to be similar. Okay. So we need to, and so correlated, so we need to have a way of producing independent samples. And so we'll look at two techniques, batch means and replications. So Peros mentions a third method, regenerative, but this only applies under a sort of more restrictive set of assumptions regarding system behavior. The behavior has to return to zero periodically, so we won't use that. Replications is essentially what we've been talking about so far. Just take independent runs, and batch means is a way of extracting multiple observations out of single runs. Okay. So for the replication method, the simulation run is replicated a number of times. And sample means are produced for each replication. Okay, so this is, you know, again, exactly what we've done so far. Okay, and then we can estimate our sample mean or our sample values as we have discussed previously. So the main complication or drawback of this method is that you have to ensure that your runs have reached steady state. So if it takes a long time to get to steady state, then this is having to produce all of these runs may be difficult. So, having said that, it's quite straightforward. And so one question you can ponder is how do you sort of estimate or decide how many runs you need to achieve a specific confidence interval. And answer lies in the fact that the confidence interval varies with 1 over the square root of the number of runs. Okay, so what we can do is we can perform some fixed number of runs, calculate the confidence interval, then and that's going to be a function of, well, however many runs you have produced so far. And then if you haven't reached your desired confidence interval, if your interval is still too broad, you just need to look at sort of the difference and how much you need to shrink it. And again, that's going to be a function of the number of runs. So if you want to call the new set n prime, then it's a function of the square root of n prime. So you should be able to determine that. So essentially what your first, what running the simulation a number of times does is it gives you an estimate for the mean and variance, and again, in particular, the variance, and then you can figure out how much you need to shrink your variance to get your appropriate, as in shrink your variance using the number of replications to get the desired confidence interval. So the second method is to keep a sort of running estimate of the confidence interval. So that's going to require having a running estimate of your mean and your variance. And obviously, the interval, again, is going to vary with square root of n, so you can stop when you achieve the desired accuracy. Okay, so our second means of gathering independent observations, which I believe I asked you to perform in the assignment, is to use what's called a batch means method. And in that, you perform a single run, and now you break up your run into a series of batches. Okay, and you can then take your sample value, your sample mean in this case, on a per batch basis. Okay, now obviously, as we have said before, it's likely that nearby sample values are correlated, so XB is probably correlated to XB plus 1, etc. But the thought is, if your Bs are large enough, then it's sort of sufficiently uncorrelated to give you a good estimate. Okay, and so for this method, again, you need a large batch size, and for each batch, you can calculate your sample mean and your sample variance. Okay, So there's again a question of how to choose the appropriate number of batches. And so again, you can run it for a certain number of batches, calculate your estimate, and based on that, well, see how many more you need to run. Or just, again, run it in fixed, for some sort of fixed number of batches, and keep doing it until you satisfy your requirements. Okay, so that's it. This is all of the information you should need to do the first assignment anyway, and hopefully you've already started trying to code your simulator. This lecture today will just give you some help with how you interpret the output now of your simulator. Okay. So, again, the key sort of theoretical point is the calculation of set of confidence intervals to sort of quantify the goodness of our estimates. So this finishes what we're going to say about simulation, and next week we'll take up with we'll examine cues sort of mathematically.